Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 17th and final chapter of Hilchos Machlokes Asuros. In this Perek, the Rambam will gather together the miscellaneous laws relating to forbidden substances, which he has not yet included. Halacha Aleph. K'deira shecheres shenisbasha ba'basar nebeilo o basar shkatzim rambashim, lo yibasha ba'basar shchutav ozo ayo. If there's an earthenware pot which had non-kosher meat, either of a carcass or of various types of forbidden creepy crawlies, cooked within that pot, so then you are not supposed to cook regular kosher meat in that pot on that very day. And if you cook some sort of meat inside of it, then that dish that you cooked becomes forbidden. However, if you cook something other than meat in it, a different species, so then in that circumstance, it only is forbidden if the non-kosher flavor can be detected. Now, on a Torah level, only a pot which has been cooked in on that day will be one which will forbid the kosher food that's cooked within it. Why? Because the taste of the fat which have been absorbed into the pot have not yet gone bad. However, on a rabbinic level, after the fat has gone bad, beyond that first day, you are still not supposed to cook in it. You're never supposed to cook in that pot. Accordingly, one is not supposed to purchase old earthenware vessels from a non-Jew that the non-Jew had used for hot food, such as a pot or a plate, at any point. This is even if they were covered with a lead coating. If you, however, bought from a non-Jew such a pot, if you cook from a second day and onward, so then the food is going to be permitted to eat. Halacha Gimel. Halakeach klei tashmas su'uda min ovi kravim klei matachos klei zchuches. If one buys things which are used for food items from a non-Jew that are made of either metal or glass, devarim shalonish tamish behen kol ikar, if it's something which has never been used before at all, matbilim mei mikvah, achakach yumutarn lecho behen ulishtos. You need to first immerse it in the waters of a mikvah, and then afterwards they'll be permitted to use, to eat with, and to drink with. Now, with regards to things that were already used, but are only used with cold things, such as cups, or flasks, or other types of jugs, these should be washed first, and then afterwards, once they're rinsed off, you immerse them in the mikvah, and then they're permitted to use as well. If there's something that was used in the past and is used through heat, such as pots or a kettle or something else which heats up hot water, so then you need to first burn that out with boiling water and then afterwards immerse them in the mikvah and then they will be permitted. And things which were used on an actual fire, such as a spit or a grill, in that circumstance, what you need to do is actually use real fire to burn off the outer layer, and then you immerse it in a mikvah, and then they are permitted. What is this process of hagala, what I alluded to beforehand, with boiling water? No saying yorak tana l'toch yorak gdola. You place a smaller pot inside of a larger pot, and they're filled up with water until the smaller one is totally submerged. And then at that point, you need to boil the water very, very well. And if it's a large pot, one which is unable to be just placed in some other pot, so then you place some dough or mud around the edge, so that way you can fill it up with water and it will flow over the pot's edge but still be caught there, and then you boil the water. Now, with regards to all these different pots that we had just described that one had, for whatever reason, not properly cleansed first or had not immersed in the mikvah, so then they are still permitted. Because all the fat that's been absorbed in them are going to give off a negative taste, as the Rambam has already explained. Now, this immersion in the mikvah, which is done for items that will be used for eating, that have been bought from a non-Jew, and then are only at that stage permitted to be used for eating and drinking, that does not have to do with ritual impurity and purity. Rather, it is simply a rabbinic decree. The Remez law, and there is allusion to this in the Pasuk, Kol davar asher yavo v'esh tavir v'esh v'taher. And we'll be ashmo lamdu she'enu medaber el v'tarasan midei geule akum v'lo midei tuma. That the Pasuk says, with regards to the spoils that were taken from Midian after the Bnei Israel had destroyed it, everything that can be passed through fire, it should pass through fire, and then it will become pure. And through that, we have learned that this Pasuk is speaking about purifying vessels that non-Jews had cooked in, and it has nothing to do with impurity, ritual impurity. She'ein lecha tuma ola al yidei ha'esh, because you can't remove ritual impurity through fire. V'chol tamei b'tefila olin mitumasa. And with regards to anything that's impure, it needs to be immersed in a mikvah, in water, in order for it to remove the impurity. And even with regards to the impurity of a corpse, that requires sprinkling and then immersion, but nothing to do with fire. Rather, it must refer to the absorbed food items of a non-Jew. Since the Pasuk says, and then it will become pure, Chazal said we should add on another stage of it becoming pure after it's been passed through fire in order to permit it from the non-Jewish cooking. Now, when Chazal created this obligation, they only demanded it with regards to metal items and the type that are used for a su'udah, for a meal, and that were purchased from a non-Jew. If, however, one had simply borrowed this vessel from a non-Jew, or the non-Jew had left it by him as collateral, in that circumstance, what you have to do with the metal kli is mediach umartiach umelabe v'eino tzarech lachpel. Then you simply wash it out or boil it or fire it up. At that stage, you're allowed to use it. You don't need to immerse it in the mikvah. V'chein im lakach kli eitz o kli avanim, mediach umartiach v'eino tzarech lachpel. And the same applies with regards to purchasing wooden or stone vessels from a non-Jew. Then you simply rinse it off and you burn it off and you don't need to immerse it. V'chein kli charasim, ein antrichon lachpel. And similarly, with regards to earthenware vessels, you don't need to immerse them. However, if something is covered with lead, which is a type of metal, so then it counts as a metallic object and requires immersion. If one purchases a knife from a non-Jew, so then you fire it up with fire to clean the blade, or you sharpen it with a grinder. And if it's a very sharp knife, one that doesn't have any nicks in it, then it's sufficient to simply stick it into very hard ground 10 times, and then afterwards you can eat cold food items with it. If, however, it had flaws in it, little nicks, or it was a good one, but you want to eat hot food with it, or to slaughter with it, so then again you need to fire it up or you need to put it to the grinder. Shachat ba kodem shetarena mediach makom ashrita. If you used it nonetheless before you had a chance to purify it, to slaughter an animal, then you wash off the place where you had slaughtered. The im kilev harizem mishubach. And if you want to go further than that and actually peel off the meat around the place where you had slaughtered it, so then that's ideal. Halacha ches. Sakin sheshachat ba treifa lo yishopa achricha afilu betzonein. A knife that had been used to slaughter an animal, which turned out to be a treif, but had some wound to it, so then one is not supposed to slaughter with it again until he first rinses it off, even with just cold water, or wipes it off even with just worn out clothing, with a rag. Halacha tes. V'yesham dvar machir, asurus ancham, v'afal pi she'en isurun ikura min ha-Torah, gadra alein, k'dei lesrachik min obi k'chavim, achilis arva b'hen Yisrael, v'yvo lidei chasnas. Now, there are other things the Rambam tells us, which Chazal forbade, even though there's no foundation in the Torah for their prohibition. Nonetheless, Chazal had decreed against doing these things in order to have the Bnei Israel be distanced from non-Jews, so that way they shouldn't mix with them and ultimately come to intermarry. Ve'eluhain, these are those items. Asur lishtos imahen, v'afilu b'makum she'en lachosh la'nesach. They forbade a Jew from drinking with a non-Jew, even when there's no concern of libated wine. And similarly, they forbade a Jew to eat their bread or a cooked item by a non-Jew, even in a place where there's, again, no concern that the food might be forbidden because of absorbed non-kosher food. Halacha Yud, Keita, the Rambam now illustrate further. Lo yish adam msiba she'ovi kofim. A person is not supposed to drink at a feast of a non-Jew. Va'aval pi shum yayin mevushal she'enu nesar. This is even if the wine that he's drinking has been cooked wine and therefore won't become forbidden by the non-Jew. Osher yishosa mikila v'vada, or even if he's just drinking from his own vessels. V'maya rov ha'msiba Yisrael, mutter. However, if most of that party was Jewish attendees, then it's permitted. And similarly, one is not supposed to drink their beer, the beer of non-Jews, the type that they would make from dates or from figs or the like. Now, that's only forbidden in the place where it's being sold. However, if he buys it and brings it back to his own home and drinks it there, mutter, then that's permitted. Because the real concern in that case is that he might come to then eat by this non-Jew. Halach Yud Aleph. With regards to wine made from other things than grapes, such as from apples or pomegranates, those are always permitted to drink. Because something which is so uncommon, such as these, Chazal had not created a decree against. With regards to wine made from raisins, though, which are just dried out grapes, that's like regular wine and can be used for libations and therefore is forbidden just as regular wine would be. Even though Chazal had forbade the bread of a non-Jew, there are certain circumstances where we are allowed to be lenient with regards to this, and one is allowed to purchase bread from a non-Jewish baker in a place where there's no Jewish baker, and when one's out in the field, because that's a pressing situation. However, with regards to private bread, meaning to say somebody baked bread in their house, your neighbor invites you over to come and join, that there's no basis for ruling leniently, because the actual basis of this decree is a concern that you might come to have a meal by them and ultimately lead to intermarry, and therefore to eat their bread is going to come to have you eat by them in general. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hidlik obi kachavim es tanor, v'afa bo Yisrael. Oshay hidlik Yisrael, v'afa obi kachavim. Oshay hidlik obi kachavim, v'afa obi kachavim. Uba Yisrael, v'nir ha'ish ma'at, o kavasha le'ish, ho v'nishtatif melechas ha'pas, harizu mutaris. If a non-Jew had lit the oven, and a Jew had baked in it, or the other way around, a Jew had lit the oven, and a non-Jew had baked in it, or a non-Jew had lit the oven and baked in it, and a Jew came along, and he just stoked the fire a little bit in some fashion, causing it to burn more. Since he was involved in the creation of the bread, in all these circumstances, the bread is permitted. Even the Jew throws one little log, little twig, into the oven, in that case, he's permitted all the bread. Because the whole purpose is just to make a demonstration that their bread is forbidden, and therefore the Jew remembers that, recognizes it, and hereby permits the bread. Halach Yud Dalet. Obi chavim shebishol lanu yayin, o chalav, o dvash, o prishin, if yod beilu, mikol davar hanechol, kamo shu chai, harilu mutarin. If a non-Jew had cooked on behalf of a Jew wine, or milk, or honey, or quinces, or something which is generally eaten as is, raw, then that is something which is permitted. V'lo gazru el al davar she'enu nechol kamo shu chai. Chazal had only made a decree against something which is not eaten raw, going basar of a dog, tafel, ubeitza virakos, such as meat, or unsalted fish, or an egg, or vegetables. In bishlan obi kavim b'tchila v'atzof, v'lo nishtatef Yisrael imo b'bishulan, harilu asuran mishon bishulei obi kavim. If a non-Jew had cooked from the beginning of the process till the end, and a Jew hadn't been involved at all in the cooking, then they are forbidden because of this problem of bishlakum. Halacha tesvav. When is that true? Something that would go out on a king's table at their feast to accompany the bread. Such as meat and eggs and fish and the like. But things which do not go on a king's table in order to eat the bread with, such as radishes or the like, those that have been cooked by a non-Jew, even though they aren't eaten raw, nonetheless, they are permitted. And so too anything which is similar. Because the principle of this decree was a concern of intermarriage, that the non-Jew might come to invite him to join in his meal. And something which he wouldn't be served on the table of kings is not the type of thing that you'd invite your friend over to share a meal with, and therefore is not going to be a problem. With regards to small salted fish that had been salted by a Jew or a non-Jew, they count as if they had been cooked a little bit. And therefore, if a non-Jew comes afterwards and cooks them after a Jew had already salted them, then they are going to be permitted still. Because anything which a Jew had cooked even a little bit, whether the beginning or the end, is going to be permitted. Accordingly, if a non-Jew had left some meat or a pot on fire, and the Jew had just flipped the meat around a little bit or stirred the pot, or the other way around, the Jew had left it there and the non-Jew had then been involved, so in that case, it's still going to be permitted. A fish that had been salted by a non-Jew, or fruits that had been smoked until they were now prepared for eating by a non-Jew, so in that circumstance, they will still be permitted. With regards to this decree, salting is not like boiling, and smoking is not like cooking. And similarly, with regards to kernels of roasted grain that had been roasted by a non-Jew, so those are also permitted because Chazal had not made a decree against this, because this is not the type of thing you invite your friend over to come and eat. With regards to beans or peas or lentils or the like that have been cooked by a non-Jew and are being sold, those are forbidden to eat because of the prohibition of Bishul HaHakam in a place where these are the type of things which would go on the table of king as a side dish. And there's a problem of them having been cooked in non-kosher vessels, if that were the case, in all scenarios, because maybe they had been cooked along with meat, or in a pot that had meat cooked in it beforehand. And similarly, types of donuts that were fried by non-Jews in oil are also forbidden because they might have some non-kosher forbidden substance absorbed within them. If a non-Jew had cooked but hadn't intended to cook, then that food item will be permitted. I'm going to illustrate. Let's say a non-Jew had lit a fire out in a swamp in order to remove some type of overgrowth that was there, and in that process it had cooked some kosher locusts which were present. Those are still permitted to eat. This is even true if these would be the type of thing that would be used as an appetizer, as a side dish on a king's table. Similarly, if a non-Jew had burned part of a kosher animal's head in order to remove its hair, so then it's permitted to eat the bits of meat or the tips of the ears that had been roasted at that time, assuming, of course, this was an animal that had been properly slaughtered and made kosher. With regards to dates, if they had been cooked by a non-Jew, if they were sweet initially, so then they are permitted. If, however, they were bitter, not the type of thing you'd have eaten raw, and therefore they have been improved by the cooking, then they are forbidden. If they were somewhere in between, so then they are forbidden. With regards to roasted lentils that have been kneaded along with water or vinegar, so those are forbidden as well. However, as has been mentioned, with regards to the roasted kernels of wheat or barley that had been kneaded along with water, those are going to be permitted. With regards to the oil of a non-Jew, that is permitted. And somebody who says that it's forbidden, he stands in very great sin. Because he is rebelling against the Sanhedrin, which had permitted it. V'afilu nisbash al hashemen, hari zeh mutter. Even if the oil had been cooked by a non-Jew, it still remains permitted. V'enu nesar, lo m'mnei bishli avodus chavim, v'mnei sheneach al kemo shehu chai, lo m'mnei aguli avodus chavim, v'mnei shehabasar pogim es hashemen masricho. And it won't be forbidden because it's been cooked by a non-Jew, because this is something which is eaten raw, and it won't become forbidden because it might have absorbed non-kosher substances, because whatever it might have been cooked with, the meat or the like, will ruin the oil and make it go bad. Similarly, with regards to the honey of a non-Jew that has been cooked and has now been used to make some sort of sweet, that is permitted for the very same reason. With regards to the dregs of dates of a non-Jew that have been heated up in hot water, whether it was with a big pot or with a small pot, that's going to be permitted because they impart a bad taste. And similarly, pickled items, which is not normal to add vinegar to, or wine to, or pickled olives, or pickled grasshoppers that are brought from the storehouse, those are also going to be permitted. However, with regards to types of locusts and pickled foods which you sprinkle wine over, those are going to be forbidden because of the wine. Similarly, if vinegar, even vinegar made from beer that is sprinkled on them, then that is also going to be forbidden. Now, why would it be that vinegar of a non-Jew is going to be forbidden if it's made from beer? What's the problem? So the Rambam explains it's because they would put some dregs of wine into it, and that would be the problem. Therefore, if this is vinegar which is taken from some storehouse, then it's going to be permitted. If we're dealing with fish brine, if it was a place where it would be common that they might put some wine into it, because wine is less valuable than it, and would be able to pump it up, so that way it'll look like it's more, so then it's forbidden. But if wine is more valuable to it, to the point where they would not put it into this fish brine, then that fish brine is mutter. And so too we will rule with regards to anything which there's a potential concern that the non-Jew would mix something non-kosher into. Because a person is not going to mix something very expensive, something which is cheap, because he'll lose out in that case. However, the opposite, of course, is true. They might mix something which is cheap into something which is more expensive in order to make money, and therefore you have to be concerned. With regards to a child who might be eating something which is forbidden or is violating Shabbos, in that circumstance, Beis Din is not obligated to go and remove him from doing this because ultimately he's not somebody who's considered to be mentally competent. This is if he's doing it all on his own. But to feed him directly, for us to do so, asur, that is forbidden. Even things which are only forbidden on a rabbinic level. And it's also forbidden for one to allow him to become accustomed to violating Shabbos and Yontif, even things which are only rabbinically forbidden. Even though the rabbinic courts are not obligated to separate a child from doing so, it is still an ideal for the father. He's commanded to rebuke the child and to separate him from doing this in order to train him in the ways of holiness. As the Pasuk says, you should train a child according to his way. Chazal forbade a person to eat or drink certain food items which most people are disgusted by, such as food or drinks that had been mixed along with vomit or excrement or some other rotted moisture or the like. Similarly, Chazal forbade a person from eating or drinking from something which is just a gross vessel, the type of thing which a person would be very repulsed by, such as the items that you might find in a bathroom or the glass utensils of people that let blood or the like. Similarly, Chazal forbade a person to eat with gross, dirty hands. And also on vessels which are dirty. Because all these different things fall under the prohibition of don't make yourself detestable. And if somebody does eat such foods, then we administer lashes of rebellion. Similarly, it is forbidden for a person to delay himself from going to the bathroom, whether he needs to defecate or whether he needs to urinate. And anybody who does delay from going to the bathroom, he falls under the rubric of this prohibition of making himself detestable. Aside from the terrible diseases he's bringing upon himself, and he will be held accountable for having hurt himself. Rather, a person is supposed to accustom himself to going at certain set times in order that he not have to distance himself when he's amongst others, and also that he not end up having to hold himself back and thereby make himself detestable. Halacha Amud Beis, the final halacha on the parak, and the final halacha in all of Hilchos Machlos Asuros. V'chol ha'nizer b'dvarim elu may be kedusha v'tahara yisera l'nafsho. Anybody who is careful with these matters will bring extra levels of sanctity and purity to himself. V'marik nafsho l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sh'ne'amar v'yisashtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kadosh ani. And he will cleanse himself for the sake of Hashem, as the Pasuk says, and you should sanctify yourselves, and you will succeed, you will be holy, for I am holy, Hashem tells us. Have a wonderful day.